I invite the incoming deacons to come and to gather on the first pew around Peggy. Thomas Hermerkin, better known to Christendom as Thomas à Kempis, was born to very poor parents, but entered a monastery in 1399. He stayed in that monastery for a mere 72 years. And while he was there, he made a reputation as a preacher and teacher, but mostly he gained his reputation as a writer of devotional literature. One of his works has remained in print since the 15th century. We call it The Imitation of Christ. On this morning, Peg, as we seek to prepare you for and consecrate you for this time of service as a deacon, it seems wise to me to share with you spiritual lessons time-tested over the years by this great spiritual writer. The Imitation of Christ, as articulated in a section of his book called Lovers of the Cross, are few. First, says Thomas à Kempis, if you want to be a mature spiritual person, cultivate the inner life. Cultivate the inner life. The truth is, none of us is naturally spiritual. Or very few of us. We all have to work at our spirituality to develop it. And Christ promises to come into our hearts and to establish sovereignty. But often Christ comes into our hearts and finds there is not much room for Him in the center of our being. There are so many other concerns and cares. Cultivate the inner life so that Christ finds an abundant place in the center of our being to be one who can nurture us. Thomas à Kempis wrote something that I have contemplated on year after year. We know best those with whom we commune most. We know best those with whom we commune most. And the more we contemplate and orient our life around the values of Christ, the more Christ comes to color our every thought and deed. Cultivate the inner life. Cultivate a spirit of humility. Oh, we all think that's relatively easy. We're all humble. And yet Thomas à Kempis said, what we call humility is mostly an attempt to mask our pride. To truly be humble is to recognize that we're called on as spiritual leaders to perform a multitude of tasks. And some of those strike us as very important. And some strike us as tedious and menial. And some even run against the grain of our natural inclination. And yet a spirit of humility allows us to see that everything we do in the family of God can teach us. To be truly humble is to allow yourself to be a servant to all people. When you're a servant to all people, everyone can teach you. Anyone can instruct you in the ways of faith. When we become everyone's servant,
Everyone becomes a prism through which light, Christ's light can shine. Cultivate the inner life. Cultivate a spirit of humility. And cultivate a spirit of peace.
To do that, we have to begin to have peace within ourselves. And yet a person who has a spirit of peace can do even more good than a person of great knowledge and erudition.
Many people are suspicious of others' motives. They impugn the worst to others. But a person whose spirit is at peace turns all things to calm. Turns all things to calm. A peaceable spirit recognizes that we have to be peaceable with others and bear with them because they have to bear with us.
But one of the things we learn as church leaders is it's relatively easy to have a peaceable spirit with peaceable people. The real challenge of spiritual leadership is to have a peaceable spirit with those who are not peaceable.
And yet, remember this. Those who are not peaceable are not peaceable with others because they are not at peace with themselves. They make trouble because they're troubled in spirit, and they most need the peace that we can provide. Cultivate the inner spirit. Cultivate a spirit of humility, cultivate a spirit of peace, and cultivate the virtues of simplicity and purity. Simplicity and purity, said Thomas A. Kempis, are two wings by which our soul soars above the earth. As spiritual leaders, two principles always guide us. Is what I am doing in accordance with the will of God? Is what I am doing going to benefit the family of God? Simplicity in motive, purity in actions. A pure heart penetrates heaven and hell. And simplicity and purity are those wings by which we rise above all things as servants of Jesus Christ.
Be slow to judge, says Thomas A. Kempis. Be slow to judge. We're all aware of those around us who misconstrue everything, but we're not as attuned to the fact that we misconstrue things as well.
The key to spiritual maturity is not being too quick to act in our own spiritual judgments. Think about the fact how quick we are to take offense. Reflect on how we might offend others. Be slow to judge.
When we're slow to judge and we recognize that there are more things at fault within us than there can be at any others, it's fairly easy, said Jesus, to criticize the splinter in someone else's eye and ignore the telephone pole in our own. We judge and criticize others, but often excuse far worse faults within ourselves.
Be slow to judge.
And if indeed we spend more time reflecting upon our own inadequacy and working upon that, our own spiritual immaturity, we have very little time left to sit in judgment upon those around us.
Cultivate the inner life. Cultivate a spirit of humility. Cultivate a spirit of peace. Simplicity and purity. Be slow to judge.
And develop the glory and joy of a good conscience. This is not going to surprise you, Peggy. But not everything that you attempt to do in God's name, in the work of Christ, is going to turn out like you planned. Not everything is going to succeed as you had hoped. But a good conscience is a glory, and it keeps you from either conceit or depression. When things don't go as you wish, and you know that your purity of heart was there, it is a comfort. But it's also a warning. When things work well and you're covered with glory, make sure that it's for God's glory that you work and not your own. A good conscience protects you against depression and conceit when you know that what you're attempting to do is in accordance with God's will. However it turns out, it's your joy and your glory. Above all, cultivate the love of Jesus Christ. Thomas Aquinas was a monk for over 70 years. He knew what he was talking about. And he wrote in The Imitation of Christ, "The service of God unto others can dry your own spirit. In giving yourself away to others, you can dry up your own soul unless you're constantly nurtured by the love and energy of Christ." Christ reminds us, for Him truly to be Lord, we have to say a yes to Him above and beyond all other yeses. Just in the same way we have to say yes to a beloved above all other yeses. But when we cultivate the love of Jesus Christ, even in the moments of spiritual dryness and weariness, Christ's love fills us. It's true, our spiritual life is not one upward climb. It's not one smooth pilgrimage of maturity. There are highs, there are lows. There are times we move forward, at times we fall back. But when we're nurtured in all moments by the Spirit of Christ, then in the highs and the lows, we hold to hope. The wintry seasons will give way to spring and summer. Despair will turn to hope. Confusion will give way to understanding. And estrangement to reconciliation. When we're nurtured by the Spirit of the living Christ, cultivate the love of Christ above all. Christ has many lovers of the kingdom, but lovers of the cross are few. Everyone loves the Easter feast, but not many enjoy the Lenten fast. Christmas Eve, the sanctuary is full. It's not so full on Good Friday. Lovers of the cross are few. And yet, said our Lord, the very nature of discipleship is the bearing of a cross in good times and in bad, in success and in failure. Those who cannot bear that cross are not worthy of me. But when you lose your life giving yourself away for my sake, that's when you find out who you really are. I remind every new deacon, the first deacon was stoned to death. Not a very auspicious beginning for deacons. But he was stoned to death because of the quality of his faith. May our faith be of such maturity and quality that we grow whether we are abounding or abased.
May you find fulfillment in bearing the cross of Jesus Christ in your service as a deacon. Lovers of the cross are few.